How about now? Okay. I pushed too many buttons. It's not the sound team's fault. It's mine. I want to welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would take out your Bibles and say this simple prayer with me. Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Before I begin, I just want to thank everyone who showed up for the work detail yesterday. We got a couple major projects done. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. We also have a schedule that I gave out, which is great. I also want to thank all those who contributed to streams for all the snacks and the water that I'm enjoying. It's quite a blessing when the church gets together and starts seeing needs and starts making preparation for those things. So God bless you for that. Today I would like to get a little remedial with you. Not evil. Remedial. That means we're going to take a step back before we have any heavy revies. And I'm trying to find my glasses. What I have been noticing over the last couple months is people are not really getting some of the things that God has written. They're in the Bible. They're studying the Word or meditating on the Word, but there's little resulting in their life. And I'm not saying that God is not patient, but what I am saying is I want to try to give you a couple keys in this short series that I'm going to be doing over the next 3-4 weeks about God's Word will work for you. Okay? This is the first part, and we're laying down the foundations of this. We all love God. At least I hope we all love God. This is yes. Moira's telling us this is yes. This is, I don't know God yet. Well, we'll make sure you know God at the end of the service. But I want to give you some things to help you in your relationship with God Almighty. A lot of times we read the Word, a lot of times we're meditating, we're praying hard, we're doing all kinds of stuff, and we forget that we're on a journey. You see, the Word of God simply is His love letter to me, to you, and how you approach His love letter will result in how you grow spiritually and what kind of life grows out of that. God wants you to have the best life there is. He has planned it so, but He's not going to violate our wills to have it. God is unique. The Word of God is unique. How many times have we read His Word that each of us can read the same verse and get something different out of it? It is unique. Because it contains the Spirit of God in it. And these words just jump off the pages and become alive to us. And so what I want to begin is with Psalm 33. As we pull it up there, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. We know the Genesis account, but in this scripture, God gives us a key. The word breath in the Hebrew is pneuma, means spirit. So by His spirit of His mouth, God created everything. And so what we see here is that God and the Holy Spirit working together for our good, for everything that comes in. Next one, please. Genesis. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over it. Let your imaginations go a little bit, and think about the Spirit of God is just hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. He wasn't hovering over the earth for anything but waiting for God to speak. Only when God spoke was the heavens and the earth created. Can we see that? Both of them work together in such a way that when God speaks, the Holy Spirit makes it happen. He's the one who kind of puts the glue with the mortar, and the bricks are all put together. He's the one that makes things happen in our lives. From this, we have to understand that they work perfectly in unity and in harmony with each other. God speaks, Holy Spirit makes it happen. God speaks, Holy Spirit makes it happen. God speaks, the Holy Spirit makes it happen. The neat thing is that if we go to the next scripture in Romans 8, it says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. God speaks, Holy Spirit does. Think about this for a second. The two greatest, most powerful beings in the universe now dwell in us. They dwell in us. And He's able, just like He did with Moira, to bring health to your bodies. The scripture says, by His stripes we were healed. It's already a done deal. You're healed. It says, give life to your mortal bodies. That life is eternal life, which that eternal life is now changing us from the inside out as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit work in unison and creates within us. It depends if that Spirit dwells in you or not. We have to understand that God's Word never fails. And He says to us in Isaiah 55:11, I'm bouncing between because I'm looking at my notes, and so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I am pleased. It shall prosper in the thing which I send it. We have to understand that every time God speaks, it accomplishes something. Every time God speaks within us, He's waiting for us to agree with Him and say what His Word says so it can accomplish that very fact that He sends it forth. When we prayed for Maura to receive her healing, she wasn't going to receive that healing until we aligned ourselves up with God and spoke healing and life into Maura's body. And whoever else needs that can be partakers of it, because we have eternal life contained within us. That eternal life is unrecreated. God takes and dwells within us so that we can go and touch others with His love. Healing is a sign of His love. And He is more than able to send that word of healing, and the Holy Spirit accomplishes it, but it takes our faith. What we have here is a guarantee. of God's Word. When we purchase things from the manufacturer, there's usually a guarantee that comes with it. They guarantee that it's going to perform, whether it's a new car, wash machine, or whatever. There is a guarantee from the manufacturer for a limited time, because they're not God, that it's going to function the way it was designed to do. God is saying the same thing here, that as you speak His Word and it sends forth, it's going to do what it says it's going to do. Period. And since God can't swear by any other greater than Himself, because there's nobody greater than God, we have His Word on it. Do we get this? Now, Jesus said in John 6:63, essentially the same thing. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. If we do not adhere to the Spirit and we stay in the flesh and we have a mindset on the flesh, oh, that'll never happen. Guess what? It will never happen. But if we agree with God that His Word brings life through the Spirit, the words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life, guess what the result is going to be? We're going to have life. And out of God's love, He loves us so much that He wants us to have life in abundance. Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's so powerful. The Word of God is so powerful, it's able to divide the spirit and the soul. The spirit is what God, through Jesus Christ, regenerated in us when we put our faith in His finished work. What is contained within our soul? Our minds, our wills, and our emotions are all contained within the soul. And it's able to divide that in such a way. This thing is annoying me. It is. It's annoying me. It's a little better. Where was I? Sweets? Mind, will, and emotions, yes. It's able to divide the mind, the will, and the emotions, in so much so that it's even able to work in such a way that it fills every nook and cranny that's contained within us, not just in our mind, will, and emotions, but through our body, because it wants, God is love, and He wants us to be filled with life. And every time we pick up His Word and we start believing His Word, and every time we start saying His Word, life is being created. What we see here is how powerful God's Word is. It's powerful. It's alive. It's living. It's not dead. Every time we take the Word, we open life. Every time we speak the Word, we speak life. This is why it's important that we monitor what is coming out of our mouth. If it is not the Word of God, why are we saying it? If we have God's guarantee that we begin to start saying what He says, we should expect life to happen, correct? We should. And so, whether it's physical healing or mental healing or needs, whatever it is, we need to begin to start saying what God says. We're agreeing with God. We're saying yes and amen to what He's already said in heaven. Because we're trying to bring His kingdom to earth. And part of His kingdom is us being converted, not to be yes men, but agree with God that it is His will for us to have life. And everyone to have life. It is not His will for us to have something less than that. He sends His word, and it will accomplish everything He intends it to accomplish. And because we live in time and space, does that make His word null and void if we don't have immediate, instantaneous results? No, it doesn't. Does it, a seed that we plant into someone's life, or a seed we plant into the ground, well, this is a better illustration, immediately pop up the next day and it's a vegetable or it's a tree? No, it takes time. And so God wants us to understand that as long as we're positive with His word, it will eventually turn for us and produce that which He sent it to produce in our lives. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I'm saying all this to make us or lead us to understand that His word is so powerful. We forget sometimes how powerful it is. We get caught up in the drama of the day at the expense of His word. I'm just thinking about Mackenzie and her friend. They're in relationship because they're friends. They like hanging out together. They like all the crazy things that teenagers like. Do you think that God likes hanging out with you? I recently had a vision of God one day. He was at my bedside saying, "Come on, Gar, get up. Come on, Gar, get up. I've made a whole day for you. Come on. I want to show you all the neat things I've prepared for you." And I woke up and it's like, it gave me a different perspective of spending time with Jesus, whether it's through the word, whether it's time of prayer. What He was showing me is that I can become very dull and mechanical if every day my disciplines is I get up, I have a cup of coffee, I go in my office and just read the word. It becomes a mindless habit. We're in relationship with the King of the universe. Not only that, we're His kids. We want to hang out with Him. We just don't know it yet. God is fun. God is cool. God is not waiting around trying to slam us with a bully club. He loves us so much that in order to show us how much He loved us, He died on a cross to create something new within us, so that when this body gives out and when it's time to check out of Hotel 6, we're going to be in the presence of God, but even more so, we're going to be just like Jesus. Because that's what the Word says. And I know God can't lie. I have His guarantee on it. And so, all that He thinks, all that He intends, is stored up within my heart. And your heart. When we read His word, do we ponder how great He is and how much loving kindness He has for us? Or do we think, well, I did this wrong, so God's going to punish me? God's not going to punish you. He'll be disappointed in that you're not grabbing a hold of stuff, and He makes a way for His word to perform that which He wants it to do. But He's never angry with us. He's not angry with people who are still living without the knowledge of God. They don't know Him. But we know Him. And it's our job to tell them that we know Him and what He's like, so that they can have an accurate understanding of, of God. Now, because he's all powerful and he's able to split our spirits. Next scripture, please. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, you're receiving the word of God today, which you heard from us, which you heard from me, you welcomed it, not as of men, not as a word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." We take a little bit of faith. We take the word of God. The Holy Spirit mixes it. And when we speak it into being, guess what happens? It happens. It becomes alive. We are here because I took what God said and spoke it. And now it's a reality for us. It's life. It's life-giving. All of you are here because God stirred my heart and I spoke it into being. God says, because we are created in his image, we have the creative measure within us to create our future. Our past is our past, and it was dealt with at the cross. His word was given to us to create a future for us. Think about it. If we constantly say that this won't work, that it's a naysayer's mindset, our life will have total, abject, be devoid of any kind of life. And God doesn't want that for us. God wants our life to be filled with good things. I can remember 10 years ago I was ministering to an individual trying to get them to understand that where they were working wasn't going to support their family. But God had a plan. And that plan for that individual was to leave his place of employment so that life could sprout in his family and God would provide for him. And today that person has allowed that word to be nurtured, cared for. They've left that former employment to a place where God is able now to help give life into their circumstances. And not only that, he wants to bring his whole family into a living, loving relationship with God. That too will take time. But God's not in a hurry. We must believe the word of God. If I was just speaking as a mere man, your heads would be, yeah, yeah, Pastor, and you would go and live your life like 90% of the make-believe Christians do for the devil. Here at Streams, we just believe that the Word took on flesh, and now his Word wants to take on our flesh. And so we have a living relationship with the living God, and we are living life, maybe not at the fullest right now, but it will be full. God promises that. I look at our life. 30-some years ago, we started off with this trek. We had nothing but debt, death and destruction through our lives. And today, God has given us his abundant life. He has given us everything that we need for that life. And now we want to share what he's done with those who haven't heard or marginally apply the word of life. word of truth to their lives so that they can be successful in their life. And that's all any father wants. He wants his kids to be successful. And God wants his kids not only to be successful, he wants us to respond to his word. Understand, his word is all powerful, able to separate your mind, your mere thinking capacity. Doesn't Romans 12:2 say, be no longer conformed but transformed in the thinking of your mind? Which also effectively works in you. You see, he's trying to work something in you to expand you to create your future. Many don't believe that. But it's true. There's two things in this thing I want to exhort you in. Not to treat the Word of God as a newspaper. You know, you read a newspaper, you throw it away. It's all bad news. And secondly, I want to exhort you to receive his word by faith. He's not just telling us things to make our life better or it's good, or why should I conform myself to his word. What we want to do is honor him. We want to bring him glory. We want to make him happy about ourselves. And how we respond will determine the depth of that happiness, that glory, how happy he'll be. In James, we see, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. There is two conditions for us in using the Word of God. We can't use the Word of God as a smorgasbord, as some teach. You just repeat this word. You just flip up the page. You take this promise and everything will work for you. Doesn't happen like that. I can attest to that. I tried that. I wanted to try to shortcut what he's saying here. The condition is we lay aside every filthiness and every wickedness. Once and for all, let us just throw away the things of the world. The things that keep us from a relationship with God. That keeps us from being filled with his word, with his life. And many of us have done that. And many of us continue. But once and for all, we have to lay it aside. Any sin that so easily besets you, cast it off. Because it inhibits your growth, your spiritual growth. It inhibits your future. It inhibits God from hearing your prayers. Filthiness is a sin. Wickedness is any kind of acts of rebellion against God. We don't get to tell God what we're going to do. I know, I tried that. And my Bible shows I've tried that. I didn't like what God said. I threw my Bible across the room, and later on I had to come back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't really understand how much you love me and how much success you want. If we apply his word, he is the God of too much. How much is too much success for you? Me, he feeds me. He's given me a great wife, great children, pays my bills. I'm able to live and enjoy life. I don't get caught up in the circumstances of life. I don't get caught up whether it's time for me to work overtime or not. God tells me, you know. I just did what he told me to do. And you know, the funny thing is, it works. If you just do what he tells you to do, it works. It's like if you tell Dylan to go out and mow the lawn, and he mows the lawn, makes you happy, and builds his muscles. But his obedience is what you're after. You're not after his sacrifice or Dylan going out, why do I have to mow this stinking lawn all the time, you know? Because Dad asked you to. Oh, okay. You could take the Word of God and have success by being obedient to what he wants, or not. I mean, he gives you that freedom. I want success, and I'm not satisfied where I'm at right now. Some of us have to do house cleaning. Some of us have to really look at stuff. I can remember trolls and Smurfs and that kind of stuff. God said, that's evil. Get rid of it. And while you're at it, take all your heavy metal albums and trash them. Break them and trash them. Whoa. That's deep. I love heavy metal. But I did what he told me to do. And I expected something other than what God. You see, he sent his word to accomplish something for us. Not, he sent his word to do our will. We got it backwards. You know, we think that God's a genie in a box. We just rub the box. He pops out. We tell him what we want, and he's obligated to perform whatever we wish. The fact of the matter is we rub the box. He pops out, and he tells us what he wants. That's the facts. And it brings life. I can remember one vision, I was walking with Jesus, and everywhere he was walking, before him was a dry desert, and where he was walking, you look behind, and around his feet is all greenery. Life was just springing up. Grass was talking to me. The sky was talking to me. And Jesus was just being Jesus. He just walked. I was learning in that relationship. We have to jettison these bad habits and things that have been incorporated into us ever since we were born. We were born sinful. But when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, what happens is that no longer becomes priority. Like babies. Babies poop. They cry when they want to eat. They don't know any better. They just are babies. We're babies. We don't know any better. But as we learn, as we grow, as we mature, by rightly relating with other believers, dividing the word of truth properly, taking that word and making it alive in us, our futures begin to start becoming created. He restores what the cankerworm was stealing from us. That's how good God is. And not only does he restore, he gives us a double portion because of Jesus. He's the first son, and we know that the first son always got a double portion of his inheritance from his Father. And since we're in Jesus, we too get a double portion of that inheritance. So I thank God that I have two steaks, not one, two steaks on his table. One well done and one really well done. Thou shalt not eat anything with blood. We need to learn how to be humble. Humility, meekness, implants the Word of God in our life. Humility is having a teachable spirit. Not, I know this, God. I got this. Which was my problem. I had everything. I was self-sufficient until the day I rolled my car down an embankment, almost killing my family. And Jesus showed up. And I haven't been the same since. I know nothing except Jesus Christ, crucified, risen from the dead. And now I have a new life. You can have that new life as long as you remain humble, as long as you don't rebel against God, and you receive implanted word. Implanted means life-giving seed that in your heart. You see, what is going on inside of you will eventually come out of you. And if you have filthiness and wickedness or evil thoughts, intents, desires, habits, whatever it is, that word of God will not grow in your life. Your future that he wants to create through you and with you will not happen. Those answers of, why am I here? Is there a God? Will all be answered. Finally, God selects his students. God, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. This is in Psalms 25. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his ways. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach the way he chooses. The secret of the Lord is those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. As we humble ourselves and we maintain a teachable spirit, even at my age, God is teaching me things. And believe it or not, I'm learning it from your lives. He's showing me stuff. Because you see, you're a mirror of what's going on in me. I don't need to tell you. You already know how wicked you are, how many times you mess up, how many mistakes you make, how many times you do your own thing, how many times you yell and scream at God. I don't need to tell you. That's who I was. When I realized who I was without him, he came and gave me life. You can try to buy what he's given to me, but there's not enough printable dollars by the Fed you can offer me that I would take it. What God has given to me is invaluable. What was that commercial? Priceless. Yeah, I like that. It's priceless. What he wants to give to you is priceless. It doesn't cost you anything. It cost him everything. he loves you. He wants to give you a future and a hope. That's his desire. He wants to teach you how that can be. But we have to acknowledge that we're sinners in need of a Savior so that he can begin this work in us. I just learned something. I thought I was really pretty smart until the Holy Spirit was teaching me. He says, you know, the day that we get saved, he dwells in us. You know that? And that's for me. That's for building me. So that every time I spend time in his word, he teaches me something new. But he said that when he comes upon me, it's for you to be given away. I never knew that. I just did whatever. But he's given me direction now. He wants to use my life for you. My hope is that you take the word of God and humbly allow it to penetrate what's going on in your heart. All the hurts, all the disappointments, he will make it go away. All the stress. I used to be a highly intensive person. I'm better now. By about that much. Now I'm better. Because of Christ. He wants that for you. He wants you to remain humble. And what I've learned about humility is I know who I am and I know who he is. And what he can do. And whatever he wants me to do to be a blessing to you, I will do. You see, all this is going to go away one day. But what we all have is relationships that we've been carving out for 5, 10, 20, 50 years. And it will all culminate when he comes back and takes us to heaven and we have a party. And we will say, I never thought you'd get to heaven. Not really, but we will say to people that we've talked to who were hardcore. But because we showed generosity, because we were kind to them, because we laid mercy up at their feet, because we sacrificed for them, they made it to heaven. Because, let's face it, the only Jesus they may come in contact with is the one who's working in you and through me. In the next 3 weeks, we'll continue on with learning some things, but today, I hope you come away with understanding that we need to be humble and we need to be teachable. That God's word is not my words. My words, but his words touch every heart. And the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to tap into that creative end to make our future what it is, what it will be. If anyone tells us that's crazy, it'll never happen, they don't know God. All things are possible to him who believes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the beginning of this short time with your word. I pray that the keys of the kingdom will be given to each and every person, not only to affect where they are presently, but create. I release that creative measure within each human heart to watch their futures begin to expand. Lord, your word is true. Your word is designed to work for us. Show us how to use it properly to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen.